In a world darkened by the fall, we all need light for our daily path. Psalm 119 tells us where to find that light. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word, the Bible, gives us light, and that's good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is what we need each and every day. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. It's great that you've joined us again this afternoon as we search the Scriptures together, having our path illuminated by God's Word. Here's your host this afternoon, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
In 1923, that's over 85 years ago, an important book was published entitled Christianity and Liberalism. The author was J. Gresham Machen. And in that book, Christianity and Liberalism, J. Gresham Machen exposed the emptiness of much of what passed for Christianity in his day. He exposed how much of the Christianity of his day had neglected doctrine and basically had sold out on the gospel. Well, it's interesting. If you read Christianity and Liberalism today, and I would recommend that you do that, it is an excellent book, still worth reading today all these years later. If you read that book, you get a strong sense that nothing much has really changed. The names have changed, definitely, but the concerns of J. Gresham Machen are concerns that we should have today with today's situation as well. As we look around us, and as we also look at the Christian context of Machen's day, we hear people saying things like, well, we need more of an emphasis on doing good things for other people. We need more talk about deeds and less talk about creeds. We hear things such as doctrine divides, but service unites. And these were slogans, these were things that were often said during the days of liberalism, the high days of liberalism back in the time of J. Gresham Machen, and those are the things he was addressing in Christianity and Liberalism. Well, today, as I said, things are not much different. We still hear people saying things like deeds and not creeds and so forth. And one of the things that I've tried to bring forward on this program is the fact that the gospel has to be central. The gospel of Christ having done something for us, Christ having lived the perfect life for us, Christ having made perfect satisfaction on the cross for us, that has to be the central message of the Christian church. It's not so much ethics as it is doctrine. However, we try to proclaim the whole counsel of God. We make it our goal to not just pay attention to certain passages of the Bible, but to pay attention to the entire Bible. And as we do that, we do find that there are passages of the Bible which do speak about the way we live our lives. There are passages in the Bible which tell us how important it is to live a Christian life, to live a certain way, also to do good deeds, to do good works, works that fit according to God's law, works that please God, works that are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit as well. And so I think it's important that on this program that we focus on the gospel, but that we also give attention to the fruit of the gospel. What does the gospel produce in the lives of Christians? And that's what I want to look at this week on Gospel Talk. This week we want to talk about the fruit of the gospel. And as we do that, I think a good place to start is in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12 specifically. And we're going to be looking this week at Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. And here the Apostle Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So again, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. And these verses mark a turning point in the book of Romans. In the first 11 chapters, Paul has outlined the depth and the riches of God's grace in Jesus Christ. He began, if you remember, in the first chapters of Romans, with an exposé of man's sin and misery, our great need, and the fact that this is a universal need, that it's not only the need of Gentiles, it's also the need of Jews. It's everyone's need, also yours and mine. But then after he did that, after he surgically exposed our greatest problem, he moved on to the gospel, to the good news of how sinners can be declared righteous by God. Now, at certain points, he's also dealt with how these things affect our daily walk of life. Paul has spoken about how they impact our daily increase in holiness, what we call sanctification. But now at chapter 12, he comes to write more explicitly about the practical implications of the fact that we've been saved by God's grace in Christ. Again, the fruit of the gospel. And as we look at these words of our text, as we consider them over the next 4 days, we need to have the gospel firmly fixed in our hearts and minds. Because the gospel, friends, is the basis of the appeal that we find here from the Apostle Paul. He says, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, because of God's compassion, because of God's undeserved favor for sinners. Now, that's the mercy that Paul has been writing about in the first 11 chapters of Romans. We shouldn't take those five precious words for granted. In view of God's mercy, we shouldn't skip over them and just right away run to the practical applications. We have to really wrestle with those words. In view of God's mercy, the gospel is contained in those words. It's the gospel, the good news that's in Romans 3. Though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there is a righteousness from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. He says, we are justified. That means we are declared right with God, freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And that brings us to that wonderful, memorable opening line of Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, I imagine that those words are very familiar to you, and they may be so familiar to you that they've lost their sweetness. But consider them again. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. Do you know what that means? Looking to Christ in faith, God is not your judge who will condemn you, but your Father who accepts you and loves you. Looking to Christ in faith, God is not your enemy who will destroy you, but your refuge who will protect you. Looking to Christ, we hear him say, as he did to his disciples out on the lake, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. That's what we mean when we speak about God's gospel mercies. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Why? So that we could be adopted as his children, so that we could be received into his family. Now, that's the good news that we need. That's the good news that we can never, ever take for granted. Even when we're talking about our Christian lifestyle, even when we're talking about our sanctification, we ought never to take the gospel for granted. You've heard me say it before on this program, and I'll say it again. Churches which take the gospel for granted, in one generation, they will inevitably lose it. Because everybody thinks that everybody knows this, but there is a new generation coming, a new generation of children and young people who will not hear the gospel, who will think that being a Christian is all about just about living a Christian life, doing this and doing this and doing that. No, we ought never to take the gospel for granted. It always has to be proclaimed. And that's what Paul does in the book of Romans. He gives us these awesome gospel truths. And in view of those, Paul issues his appeal to offer living sacrifices. Now, to understand this appeal, we have to briefly look back at the Old Testament. The sacrifices offered in the Old Testament period were mostly bloody offerings of dead animals. Though there were a few sacrifices that didn't involve blood. You can think of the grain offerings. Most of them did. Most of them did involve blood, particularly those that had to do with sin and guilt. According to Hebrews 9:22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22. In the New Testament, Christ comes, and he offers himself as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. He has fulfilled all the Old Testament sacrifices for sin so that those sacrifices are now obsolete. But there is one sacrifice which remains in the New Testament after Christ has done his work, his redemptive work here on earth, dying on the cross, rising again, and so on. There's one sacrifice that remains after that. And this is the sacrifice which Paul is speaking about here in Romans 12. It is the thank offering. The living sacrifice described here is the sacrifice of thankfulness. Most of the Old Testament sacrifices were bloody and dead, but the sacrifice of thankfulness that remains in the New Testament is bloodless and alive through Jesus Christ because of the gospel. And with the gospel, we've been so richly blessed. And if we're gripped by that, well, then we can't help but be filled with love for God and gratitude towards God. And that love and gratitude is going to be expressed through the living sacrifices of our bodies. That's what Paul calls our spiritual act of worship. And when Paul says that our bodies are to be these living sacrifices, he's not just referring to what's physical. He's not just referring to our flesh and blood. That's included, absolutely. But it's not the only thing. In fact, when Paul says the living sacrifice of our bodies, he's referring to everything about us, our entire being, who we are. When we have in view God's gospel mercies, when we're gripped and impressed by those, we will offer everything we are to God's service, holding nothing back. That's the fruit of the gospel. And we're going to continue looking at that tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me again tomorrow at 2:45. I should also mention at the end of today's program that if you have missed any of our programs or want to listen to a program again, you can do so by going on the internet to the Gospel Talk blog. That's gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. You can find past programs. They're all archived there. And you can also leave comments or questions if you want. You can also leave me an email, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Love to hear from you. Love to hear your feedback. And as I said, I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. Till then, may God continue to richly bless you in every way.
You've been listening to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Our prayer is that this broadcast has been of benefit to you, shining gospel light on your daily path. This broadcast comes to you courtesy of the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church. The Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church warmly welcomes visitors each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. We're located at the corner of King and Mackenzie in Abbotsford. You can find more information about the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.abbotsfordchurch.com. Again, that website is www.abbotsfordchurch.com. You can also write for more information or let us know if this program has encouraged you in some way. Write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C., V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C., V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Stay tuned tomorrow morning for more biblical teaching with Pastor Chris Gordon on Abounding Grace. That's tomorrow morning at 8:30 here on KARI 550 AM.